Welcome to another PI World podcast. This is an audio-only version offered as another way to enjoy our great content. A full video version can be seen on piworld.co.uk, where you can find many more videos of interest to investors.
Hi, everyone. So just to take you through the agenda for today, firstly, we will take you through the highlights of half year and current trading, then the financial and KPI review, then product, followed by third parties, marketing and supply chain, then the outlook for Sosandar, and lastly, time for any questions. So we thought we would start by giving you a quick insight into how the business has evolved since the pandemic started over 18 months ago, and how the successful results we're about to present to you are the rewards we are reaping from the strategy we put in place. We are very agile as a business and very quickly adapted and implemented our strategy. And as a result, through the hard work, detailed planning and quick reactiveness of the business, we have come out of it even better and stronger and ready to tackle whatever is ahead, be it new strains or, God forbid, any future lockdowns. So some of the key elements of our strategy were firstly broadening the product range. We went into COVID as a business that had gone from startup to 9 million turnover in 3.5 years. But we were very early in our development and our product range was very reliant on workwear and dresses. So we have revolutionised the product range in the last 18 months. We created a more casual collection, launching leisure, activewear and loungewear. And we massively developed the denim range we'd only just launched a month before the pandemic and really backed knitwear. We were and still are very quick on all design, buying and sourcing functions. And as a result of the skill planning, we've come out of lockdown with customers being able to choose from every single women's wear product category, with every category in growth. We've put ourselves in a position where no matter what situation our customer is in, we can dial up and dial down the product balance to suit her needs. Secondly, we knew our customer. From the product we produce to the daily email and social communication we have with her, we live and breathe everything about our customers. We are always in their hearts and heads every step of the way. And we launched with 3 third parties. So Next and John Lewis a year ago and M&S 8 months ago, while at the same time accelerating growth on our own site. And lastly, everything we do is driven by data, both in product planning and customer engagement, to make sure we give the customer everything she needs at any given time. And it's this combination of our skill in data with our creativity across all areas of the business that has enabled us to revolutionise the product range and hone the marketing to be even more successful. In a nutshell, we are an incredibly agile business, enabling us to meet the needs of our customer, whatever they may be.
Hello, everyone. I'm going to move on now to talk about the highlights. First of all, for the first 6 months of the financial year. So revenue of 12.2 million for the 6 month period, which is up 184% year on year and higher than the entire prior year. That's been very strong growth on both our own site and through third parties. And the strength of the product and the diversity and choice of the product range is what's driving excellent new and repeat orders. Very strong performance across all our KPIs and an increase in gross margin year on year. And a cash balance at the end of September, very healthy cash balance of 7.4 million, reflecting the autumn stock build after we did the raise back in May in order to increase stock for the autumn period. Now moving on to current trading and the highlights. We've had fantastic autumn trading for the months of October and November. Not only have we had record-breaking months, October was a record and subsequently November has been a record. We're up 120% year on year, but very excitingly and a big milestone for the business is we've had 2 consecutive EBITDA positive months in October and November. And the cash balance has increased at the 31st of October was 7.6 million. And it's the investment in stock that is driving record new and repeat orders and also record sales with our third parties. We've had incredibly fast sell through of stock with every single product category in growth year on year, but in particular, party wear, knitwear and outerwear has seen phenomenal sales. And we've seen very minimal disruption from supply chain issues. And we've had good visibility of stock and good availability of stock right throughout the autumn. And all our KPIs are continuing on the upward trend.
Good afternoon, everybody. And moving on to the financial and KPI review, starting with an overview of our P&L. So In the first half of the year, our EBITDA loss was 3 percentage points improved to 991,000. It's important to note that this is against a comparative year which was severely impacted by the early part of the pandemic, whereby we significantly curtailed our marketing activities and put our focus during this time on cash preservation and trading the existing database of customers that we had built up so successfully prior to the pandemic. This EBITDA performance demonstrates another step forward on our road to profitability, which, as Julie said, is really pleasing to be able to announce that in both October and November, we have EBITDA positive periods. This is incredibly pleasing. And whilst we don't expect every month in the second half to be EBITDA positive due to seasonality, this is an excellent indication of our progress against a loss posted last year in the second half of 1.9 million. Our first half EBITDA performance has been delivered thanks to our strong revenue growth of 184%, improved gross margin to 56.5%, and ever-increasing KPIs across the board. In addition, we continue to benefit from economies of scale and ongoing careful cost management, resulting in our admin expenses reducing to 64% as a percent of revenue, which is 10 percentage points improved year on year. The fundamentals are very much in place to deliver sustained annual profitability from this point forward. In terms of our gross margin, as I just said, in the first half of the year, our gross margin was 56.5%, which is a significant step up year on year from 52% a year ago. This has been driven by a high proportion of full price sales and improved intake margins, which are being delivered as we increase the order quantities from our suppliers. The prior year, particularly the second half of last year, was severely impacted by actions that we had to take as a consequence of COVID. In particular, when it became apparent that Christmas was effectively cancelled, we really successfully sold through stock at that time to ensure that we exited the winter season with the right level of stock as we entered the spring trading period. In terms of our balance sheet, our cash position as at September 21 was 7.4 million. And that reflected the equity fundraise that we did in May 21. And the subsequent investment in the inventory, which is already allowing us to further meet the growing demand, both on our own site and with our third-party partners. The equity fundraise that we did in May was for 5.4 million net, and that's been utilized to grow stock in two ways. Firstly, by increasing the number of styles that we produce and bring an increased level of customer choice, but also in terms of the depth of the buy that we do. So the number of items that we buy per style is increasing to meet the ever-growing demand that we have. Our inventory position as at September is 6 million, and that's doubled since the year end and is exactly as we planned following the raise in order to make sure that we can meet the demand that was generated and the record trading periods that we delivered in both October and again in November. It's pleasing to also note that our cash balance as at the end of October and actually also at the end of November, increased slightly to 7.6 million. We really do have the headroom available now for us to kick on and to deliver the trajectory of growth that we are planning for. Moving on to some slides that give a bit more detail on all of our KPIs, the first of which demonstrates the number of orders that we've generated over the last 2 years. In total, the number of orders that we generated in the first half of this year to September grew by 153% at an average order value, which has maintained year on year broadly at £86. This significant step up in the number of orders was also delivered with a fantastic conversion rate, with the growth coming from both new and repeat customers, which are illustrated on the chart in grey for repeat orders and new in gold. As we have come into the autumn period, we've generated a record number of orders for a single calendar month. You can see that on the right-hand side of the chart with October, which was the first time that we delivered in excess of 50,000 orders in a calendar month. In total, we actually delivered 53,000 orders in October, and it was also a record for a single month for both repeat orders and also a record for new customer orders. So whilst our number of orders has been increasing significantly, so has the level of customer engagement that we have. In just the last 6 months alone to September, the number of active customers that we have has increased by 41%. Active customers are those customers that have purchased from us in the last 12 months. And that represents an increase of 56,000 in that period. And we now have 191,000 active customers in total. The proportion of active customers that are repeat buying from us has also increased by 7 percentage points. And now 43% of our customers are repeat buyers over the 12-month period. In addition, the average order frequency of all active customers has stepped up to 2.2 times per annum, which is a 33% increase over the last 2 years alone. This is a notable increase, in particular given the significant jump up in active customers, as not all customers have yet been with us for 12 months and as yet won't have had the opportunity to purchase more than once necessarily in that 12-month period. In addition, the cohort of customers that repeat purchase from us over a 12-month period has also increased, and that cohort of customers is now purchasing from us nearly 4 times per annum. And that's a step up of 14% in the last 12 months alone. In addition, we've also had record visits to our website, illustrated by the chart on the left-hand side. In the first half of the year, we had over 6 million visits to our website, which was a 67% increase year on year. And the first time that we had actually gone over 6 million visits in any 6-month period. Of real significance is the chart on the right-hand side, which shows the significant step up in conversion over the last 12 months. In the first half, our conversion rate was 3.91%, which was a 51% increase on the comparative period a year ago. This increase also stepped up in the second half of last year. So it just shows that exponential growth in conversion is going to record highs. In addition, it's really great to report that the conversion rate in both October and November stepped up again and was in excess of 4%. This substantial growth in conversion is a result of our successful strategy, both in marketing and also the customer choice of product that we are now able to offer. And we'll talk about that in much more detail later on in the presentation. In terms of our costs, we continue to see cost efficiencies whilst also investing in the business in order to drive the top line growth that we've been talking about today. The left-hand chart is the quantum of cost broken down by type. And as I said earlier, we've been investing into the second half of last year and now into the first half, particularly in marketing and customer acquisition marketing to drive the increase in active customers and in line and also therefore the top line. And that was against a comparative period a year ago where our marketing investment was significantly reduced as a consequence of the pandemic. It's also worth noting on the left-hand chart, to the purple section represents the commission that we pay to our third parties, which we include in our admin expenses. Important to note, as we increase our sales with our third parties, both revenue and gross margin remain undiluted in the numbers that we report. For example, a dress that typically retails for £69, we would report revenue of £69, whether that dress is sold on our own site or through one of our third-party partners. Notably, on the right-hand side chart, which is our admin costs or selected admin costs as a percent of revenue, overall, our admin costs fell by 10 percentage points year on year to 64%. And this reduction will continue into the second half of the year as we continue to see cost efficiencies delivered as our top line grows.
So Ali and I are going to come on now to talk a little more around our product strategy. Over the last 18 months, the product range has been completely revolutionized in terms of choice. We've launched a lot of new categories, but we've also substantially extended variety and choice in all of our existing categories. So you can see on the pie chart on the next slide how equitable the mix is now across many different product categories. What you're looking at here is share by product category for the autumn period. And what you can see is there are many different categories now that all have a very high share. And there is multiple choice for customers within each of these product categories. So taking woven dresses as an example, which is now just shy of 20%, prior to the pandemic, this would have been more than 40% of the range would have been woven dresses. So whether it's boots, jumpers, sequins or jeans, we have extensive ranges in all areas. And all of it's got our Sosandar trademarks, which are quality, fashionability, a really great fit and a chic but sexy aesthetic. Also, every single product category for the autumn is in growth year on year. Knitwear, dresses and tops have absolutely exploded year on year. But even categories like denim and loungewear, which last year were the lockdown stars, really, even those categories are in growth year on year.
So in the past, we've talked to you about launches into new categories. But as a result of that product expansion we've been talking about, we are now active in all the main women's wear product categories. When we launch a category, our ambition is to see great success in it and then continue to develop that category so we have enough choice to become a destination for that category for our customers. Because it's only when you have a full range of choice that you start to maximise the potential of the category as you build trust in customers that you are an expert in that area, and so you then become forefront in their minds. Our ambition is that Sosandar is the destination for our customers in every single category in women's wear all year round. As you saw on the previous slide, all our product categories are performing successfully, but I just thought I would give you a flavour of three categories that we are developing that have been exploding for us and are also performing very successfully in all three third parties. The first one is party wear. We've seen an absolute explosion in party wear this year as our customers come out of lockdown. After months of working at home in leggings and joggers, our customer is after any product that is for going out. She could not get enough of sequins. We've sold through these so quickly, but also bandage dresses, heels, fur, basically anything glamorous and anything for going out. The second category is denim. We launched this just before lockdown and it has grown rapidly since then. It varies on the time of year, but can be as much as 20% of our range. Our denim range includes jeans of every shape and fit, denim dresses, jackets, shirts. An example of how we grow this is we started off with a mid-blue skinny jean. So this was the first skinny jean we did. That one style of jean is now available in 22 different colours, 3 leg lengths and 2 different rises. We then go on to replicate this across other best-selling styles. The third category is knitwear. We really backed this year as we knew whether our customer was in lockdown or not, knitwear would be relevant. Again, it's been flying out both on our own site and third parties. We've seen a big revival in knitted dresses since coming out of lockdown, but we're also selling cardigans, any style of jumper from slim to baggy, lightweight to Lorex. So there is so much opportunity to develop in every category across the board. So the strategy going forward is to keep developing and expanding these areas using our data, and so providing the best choice for customers, depending on what she is living and breathing at that time, and also what the circumstances are in the wider world.
So a little bit more background now around the success we're seeing with our third parties. They've continued to go from strength to strength, with revenue tripling in the last 6 months and each month stepping up on the previous month. The growth is equal across all three partners, and it's as a result of the increase in stock that we've given to them, both in terms of number of styles and quantity per style. In particular, you can see the ramp up of stock and the subsequent revenue increase from the fundraise we did in May, which is very evident in the jump up in revenue in September and October, which are now significantly ahead of where we were in the spring. And also delighted to say that November will have increased again on October. So we're driving this additional growth because the demand for our product is just so strong with Marks & Spencer's Next and John Lewis. So it's across all key categories. We've got a very equitable sales mix, and the spread is very similar to the categories on our own site. And we've seen very rapid sell-through of stock, and that's been maintained even when we've transferred more and more stock through to each partner. So the reason in May was to capitalise on this huge demand that we'd seen for our product, and we've delivered completely in line with what we set out to do, ramping up the stock for autumn, which has delivered us this significant uplift in revenue. And we've still only got a small proportion of our range available through each third party, which demonstrates that there remains massive opportunity for ongoing growth, and we've barely even scratched the surface yet with all three partners. So coming on now to talk more about how we've continued to refine and develop the highly effective and efficient marketing strategy. It's made up of three core areas which we invest in for customer acquisition, which is TV, brochures and social. Going back to prior to the pandemic, in the few months prior to the pandemic starting, we'd begun to invest in TV and we were in very early stages of exploring this as a channel. What we'd seen very early on is that it drove fantastic volume of traffic to the site and we had acquired large volumes of customers. Then over the last 18 months, what we've done through all the data-driven learnings and testing and repeating different channels and programs, we've been able to drive very large volumes of traffic at an ever-increasing effective cost. So traffic comes to site and then we then get people to sign up for brochures and email and we see fantastic conversion rates from the glossy brochures that we send out to people, both customers and prospects. And then we also combine that with social, which is Facebook and Instagram, which is just a constant reminder about Sosandar and retargeting people. So with the continual refinement and developing of our marketing activities, we've had a fantastic increase in new customer orders year on year, up over 140%. But very importantly, we're getting a better and better return on investment. So on the next slide, this shows the development of our cost of acquisition. The yellow bars being new customers that we've acquired by month, and the grey line being the cost of acquiring those customers. So the key takeout here is that the cost of acquiring a customer is less than half what it was prior to the pandemic. We reduced that dramatically when we pulled back from acquiring customers in April 2020 when the pandemic first began, which was linked to us not actually spending very much money at that point. We were just converting people who were on the database. But then when we began investing again in customer acquisition from September 2020, and we've invested fairly consistently since that period, that cost of acquisition has remained very low. And as I said, is now less than half where we were prior to the pandemic. And all of that feeds into our customer database. So we've built up a very large customer database of both prospects and customers. And I think we describe it now as the lifeblood of our business because it enables us to generate huge amounts of revenue at virtually no cost, with over 40% of our revenue now coming directly from somebody clicking on an email and then subsequently going on to buy. So we target customers through at least daily emails, sometimes twice a day. And we have market leading open and conversion rates. And this really is down to the fact that we run this as if it were a news desk and we kind of draw on all our experience of working in media. So it's a combination of really detailed planning, but also combined with reacting daily and hourly to make sure that we're constantly in the hearts and minds of our customers, understanding what they're thinking and feeling and driving very strong revenue through email.
The other cost-effective way we reach customers is through celebrity endorsement. So we've always had brilliant celebrity endorsement for Sosandar from mainstream high-profile celebrity actors, presenters, dancers, singers. Just to remind you, unlike lots of brands, we don't pay celebrities to wear our clothes. The celebrities wear them as they like them. On average, just now, Sosandar clothes will appear daily on a celeb, on a TV appearance like a Lorraine fashion slot or a This Morning fashion slot, or on an influencer. You can see on the slide the social media followings of each of these celebs. So just with the celebs on this one slide, we've tapped into over 7 million people. And we also get multiple appearances from them. We have found that once a celebrity wears us, it's just like our customers, they repeatedly want to wear us.
Moving on to our supply chain, we are cognizant of the widely reported problems that are out there in the global supply chains. To date, we have not seen any material impact from that disruption and have continued to see a constant supply of stock coming towards us throughout the autumn trading period. And that's been exactly in line with our expectations. And that includes the ramp up in stock for our third parties, which we were very keen to deliver following the fundraise that we did in May. We also consciously brought in stock slightly earlier for the autumn season. After the challenges a year ago, where we weren't allowed to be out for Christmas, we preempted that demand would be particularly strong. And as a consequence, it was important to us to make sure that we had the stock with us, ready for when demand did ramp up. And that was exactly what happened for us. You can see that highlighted in the results that we've delivered in both October and November. What we have seen is a small degree of cost inflationary pressure across the supply chain. And we've offset that through the benefit of economies of scale, through quantity discounts that we're getting from our suppliers as we now purchase ever more substantial quantities from them. And you can also see that being delivered through the higher gross margins in the first half of 56.5%. Throughout the period, we've also maintained our focus on all things ethical sourcing and increasing the level of sustainable fabrics within our product. During the period, we've also increased the number of people within our sourcing team, and that's also continuing into the winter, where we'll be adding even further to the sourcing team. And those are the people that have the primary relationships with our factories. So it's super important that that continues to grow into the future. As promised in previous presentations, we have continued to reduce the proportion of stock being brought to the UK from our suppliers by air. From an environmental standpoint, we're very keen to reduce the reliance on air, although at this moment in time with the disruption, it also needs to be balanced with ensuring that we have a constant flow of stock coming towards us to meet the demands from our customers. We also continue to reduce the amount of packaging that we use within both packaging and consumables. And as you know, we changed our consumer packaging to carbon negative recyclable bags early this year. And we're now actively rolling similar types of packaging out across the rest of our supply chain, particularly from our suppliers to the UK.
So just to finish off with a summary and outlook before we move on to questions. So we've had a great start to the financial year, achieving in 6 months what we achieved in the entire 12-month period in the prior year, a record autumn trading, and we are trading ahead of market expectations, both in terms of top-line revenue and EBITDA performance. The fundamentals are in place to deliver sustained profitability, and this growth is coming both from our own site and from our third parties, and both growing rapidly. As Steve said, we remain very vigilant to the challenges presented by the supply chain, and we remain agile in any response to anything that happens externally, whether it's to do with supply chain or indeed to do with the pandemic or new variants or whatever gets thrown at us. And we have an exceptionally strong team, a robust infrastructure in place to execute all our growth plans, and we see a huge opportunity for growth, both in the UK and ultimately overseas for Sosandar. That's it on the presentation. So we hand over to you for questions.
We have a question here. How close do you believe you'll be to break even at the end of this full year?
I think it's probably best to refer to the updated and upgraded Singers guidance note that's been published along with our interim results. If you remember, the second half of last year was a loss of 1.9 million. The updated guidance note from Singers has H2 showing EBITDA positive of 0.1 million, which means that whilst the full year will remain as a EBITDA loss, it shows the trajectory that we're now on towards annual profitability, which follows into FY23.
Thank you. And another question here. Could you clarify the administrative expenses and what appears to be a dramatic increase in those costs? As I understand it, this compares a period in lockdown where advertising was slashed to zero and other costs minimised, for example, furlough, versus a more normalised period now. Advertising impacts future periods rather than current, and should these be seen as an investment? What was the delta between the two periods for this? And presumably items like distribution costs ramp up proportionally on a doubling of revenue. And can you also cover the operational gearing of the business, specifically in relation to the increase in admin expenses and pointing to the operating loss being flat? Sorry, very long question.
That's okay. For you, Steve, I think.
Blimey. I will do my best to answer that fully. I think it's important to note that the comparative period a year ago was the period where the pandemic first hit us. And our response to that was a focus on cash preservation predominantly. As we said earlier, our focus was on trading the existing database of customers. We reduced significantly our spending. particularly on marketing. So doing a like-for-like comparison against our first half to first half is quite a difficult comparison to make because they're just not the same. A much better comparison to do would be to look at what H2 of this year will look like against H2 of last year. And that's because in the second half of last year, we was a more normal period of time where we were investing in customer acquisition activity and our marketing spend was a slightly more normal level, notwithstanding the fact that there was still some disruption from the pandemic. In the first half of this year, our admin expenses as a percent of revenue was 64%. If we look forward to H2, I would envisage that that will drop further in the region of mid-50s, which is a more normal representation of what our admin expenses will be. And that illustrates why the Singer's Guiders note has us making EBITDA profit in H2, because our admin expenses will have fallen to a level below our gross margin percentage. I hope that answers the question.
Great, thank you very much. And what are the benefits of having repeat customers? I assume less returns.
So the benefit of repeat customers, probably the primary benefit of repeat customers, is it doesn't cost you anything to get that customer to shop with you. So, and the profitability of the business, that's one of the key KPIs for us having built towards profitability, is the increasing number of repeat customers. Because when you acquire a new customer, clearly that costs you to acquire that customer, as we talked about in the presentation, but the repeat customers don't. So the benefit is that is what has enabled us to, one of the key things that has enabled us to build towards profitability. And on returns, yes, they do return slightly less than new customers. So there is some benefit from that as well. You get slightly less returns, but really the critical thing is it doesn't cost you to, because people then spend either through their own accord or through email, which we talked about. Anything anybody would add?
Yeah, the only thing I would add to that question is with the significantly lower CPA that we now have when we recruit a new customer, coupled with a higher proportion of customers repeat purchasing from us, that's what drives us toward profitability. The average order frequency is now 2.2 times per annum. I would expect that would grow further as we mature the database. And so if we look at the economics of when does an individual customer start to become profitable to us, it's partway through order number two. At the current level of CPA and the average order value and the economics of how we deliver to our customers. So it's super important that that repeat customer proportion continues to grow, which in turn means we start to become more profitable.
Thank you. And there were no details on the returns rate. Is this steady or improved?
So what we've seen coming out of lockdown is really, I suppose, from the back end of summer and people were going out more, is returns have started to normalise, as every other business has also said that the same thing has happened. So it's exactly what we would have expected, just because people are going out more, therefore their behaviour is normalised in terms of returning product. For us, what it's meant is that is slightly lower than what it had been pre-pandemic. So because prior to the pandemic, we were very largely dependent upon woven dresses, which have a higher return rate because they're harder to fit on a body. But now our product range is much more diversified. It means overall our normalized returns rate is lower than it was pre-pandemic. So it does vary month to month because it's entirely dependent upon the product mix. But typically it's around mid-40s as a return rate.
Thank you. And you mentioned being data-driven. Would you be able to go more into this? Are there new ways to look into the data of your customers, or tried and tested by many? What will make your data-driven program a success, as we know data is pivotal?
That's a widespread question, of course. Yeah. I think a couple of examples where we can draw out why the data is so important. I think understanding the behaviours of our customers is really important. What categories they buy, what frequency they buy, what triggers them to buy, whether it's through brochure or email. And by learning what's worked before, we can do more of what works before versus what didn't work and do less of that. But also, not all customers are the same, because some of them want to be spoken to via brochure, not by email, or vice versa. So we're constantly looking at what triggers the behavior of our customer and making sure that we do more of that for them and less to others. That's one example. And also, when we're looking at what categories to buy, clearly we look historically at what worked so successfully. Particular colors, patterns, types of product is really important. So we're always looking at that information to be able to help us make informed decisions for the future. There's also gut and experience as well here, not just data. And I think it's the mix of data with knowledge, experience, and being aware of what's going on around us. And there's a great example of that in the way that we chose to preempt demand this year to bring product in early, because we thought that with last year Christmas being cancelled and not being allowed to do the things that we were very used to, that was really important to us, that we backed party wear, for example, and made sure that we had enough stock of that for our own customers as well as customers that purchased through our partners. That was a really important judgment. You wouldn't get that from data. So it's not all about data. It's data with experience and preempting what the market will want because of what's going on around us. So I think it's the mix of the two that really sets us apart.
Thank you very much. And is commission paid to third parties roughly equivalent to the cost of acquiring a direct customer?
Sorry, Steve, that's one for you again, I'm afraid.
Don't worry. To a degree, yes, but to a degree, no. So the commission that we pay or that is retained by our third-party partners includes more than just what you might call a CPA equivalent, because our partners do warehousing of the product, they do the fulfillment of the item to their consumer, they handle the returns, they handle the management of the website, the transactional costs of an order being placed, et cetera, et cetera. So it's not directly comparable. From our perspective, the third parties are profitable from day one because it's an entirely variable cost model. And I think the beauty of it from our point of view is that we're associated with really well-known businesses who have got very large databases. So the brand awareness that Sosandar gets from the association of having our product stocked on those sites is fantastic. And I think we'd probably know, I know that Julie said it, but we would reiterate, the opportunity with our third parties is enormous. We still only have a relatively small proportion of product stocked with each partner, and it shows the pathway, because as soon as we start to increase the amount of stock that they take, the sales are almost a direct correlation of the amount of stock that we pass over to them. So there's much more opportunity to come from growth with each of our third parties.
Thank you very much. And there's a small reference to overseas sales. What's the percentage of sales overseas? And are you planning any expansion overseas? And if so, where? Although recognising that the opportunities are still very big in the UK.
In terms of international, we obviously see a massive opportunity for Sosandar internationally, as well as a huge opportunity still to grow further in the UK. In terms of international, we're at the beginning stage of research, so we know it's something we will do, but we're at the moment just right at those beginning stages. In terms of the UK, we've proven the third-party model, and we're now actively exploring new opportunities with partners in the UK. But we also know there's still so much more room to expand within our own site as well. We've only really scratched the surface in the UK, both on our own site and with the current third parties.
And that's the end of questions. Julie, do you have any closing remarks?
Just to say thank you all very much for joining. Fantastic attendance. And we're really delighted to have shared such positive results with you today. We're very positive about the outlook for the business, and we are well on the road to building a large scale and profitable business. And we very much look forward to presenting to you again next time.
PI World videos and podcasts are for general information and interest. They do not constitute any kind of recommendation or inducement to buy shares of any company. PI World is not offering any kind of financial advice, and nothing in our material should be taken as such.